when you move over and you start to have a conversation about what this looks like on a local level, because they're going to send them somewhere. If there's not solidarity within the United States of America, what happens is the entire infrastructure falls. And so because there is no solidarity and there's always division and we can't come together on anything, every single issue that we talk about is divisive. Whether you're referencing immigration and illegal immigration, everybody knows that we should have closed borders and we should have structure with regard to who comes in and who's not here. But because you don't like this person or they don't like this person, we don't come together fundamentally based off of the issues. We divide ourselves based off of who we like and who we don't like. And then you'll mortgage your child's future in order to stand against this person not getting elected again. When at the very core of who we are, we should be sticking together on some issues. You telling me we can't figure it out on no front at all? Shout out to G. Watson. I'm going to be reading that super chat shortly. You're telling me that there's nothing that we can overlap on as far as agreement. Everything is 100% divisive 100% of the time. Because even the people of yesteryear could come together and say, okay, well, listen, you're more conservative. I'm a little bit more liberal. But on these issues right here, we agree on. Because we all got to make sure that we get money, or we all got to make sure that we put America first, or we all got to make sure at least we're closing off our borders and that we let the right people in, not everybody, because immigration ain't bad. Illegal immigration is bad. But now you're forcing states, and this kind of started during the pandemic when people said orange man bad and they was getting distracted by Black Lives Matters. And they said, you know what? We don't like him. So we're going to open up our cities and we're going to open up our state and we're going to close our state over here. And nobody could come together and get a consensus on how we were supposed to move. And this has been brewing for a long time. And so now when people finally get fed up, this is what you see happen and play out. But on a local level, all of your local mayors and governors and people that are operating in the cities that are the most affected by what's going on in the migrant crisis, not including Texas, they are all admitting defeat. Governor Greg Abbott basically handed these dudes a toilet tissue and said, cry, cry, cry. Because they're all trying to come together on a Zoom call and they're admitting defeat. I've never seen the mayors of some of the biggest cities in the United States of America get defeated by one man that said that we not having it in Texas here anymore. And we going to send every last one of these dudes crying up to their daddy over there in Biden. Let me bring you up to speed of what's going on out here in these streets, ladies and gentlemen.
Mayor Brandon Johnson says the city of Chicago is almost at capacity with migrants.
This as more and more asylum seekers are making their way to the suburbs and other towns, villages that surround Chicago. As of today, Chicago has received over 26,000 asylum seekers. At least 10 buses of additional migrants were expected to arrive today. And the OEMC says at least 3 buses arrived in the suburbs yesterday. Local leaders are meeting with Mayor Brandon Johnson about what to do as he meets with the mayors of Denver and New York to talk about what happens next.
Let me show you exactly what's going on or what happened in this local meeting, because you know Anton was aware of what was going on. And so I was paying attention and I was doing the homework for you guys so that you wouldn't have to do it for yourself. Let me go ahead and share with you some of what this meeting and what happened and how it took place.
Hello. I am New York City Mayor Eric Adams, and I want to thank my fellow mayors, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson and Denver Mayor Mike Johnston, for joining us today. As many of you are aware, we are again seeing a record number of crossing at our southern border.
You guys don't mind if I go ahead and speed these slow-talking mayors up, do you?
What that means for us in New York City is another surge in migrants arriving at our doors. Just a few weeks ago, Governor Abbott promised to send an additional 25,000 migrants to New York City alone. We expect the surge to intensify in the coming days and weeks. Last night, a flight chartered by the state of Texas, El Paso, the fog diverted the flight to Philadelphia, where migrants were loaded onto 5 buses that arrived this morning around 1 a.m. And just last week, 14 buses arrived in a single day, the most ever recorded by officials at our intake center. We are in close contact with other cities and state leaders across the country who are seeing a similar increase in arrivals. To better coordinate these arrivals today, I'm announcing an executive order requiring charter buses transporting migrants, those often contracted by the state of Texas, to provide 32-hour notice in advance of their arrival into New York City.
So basically, he's using the same tactics, and they're working together now because they're using the same tactics across the board and saying, listen, Chicago was mandating that they give you at least 32 hours in order to let us know that migrants is coming into the city. But Greg Abbott, he don't care. He's like, okay, I give you 32 hours, but I'm going to change the method by which I drop these migrants off because I know y'all trying to finesse. So while Greg Abbott is playing chess against three different people, he's doing a simul. See, a lot of people are not familiar with a simul. A simul is like, for example, you might have a chess master come in, and he may be coming to visit in a particular city or a specific chess club. Let's say Magnus is coming in or something like that, right? Or Garry Kasparov is coming in and he's going to visit a specific city or a chess club or whatever. And then people pay in order to play against him. But they're not, they need him to play against multiple different people at the same time. So he'll do a simul. A simul is they'll have 40 different chess sets, three different rows up all at the same time. And he's walking through and he's making his move. And while they're all trying to figure out what he's doing, he's playing against 40 different people and winning 40 different matches at the same time. It's called a simul. All right. And so that is exactly what is happening right now. Greg Abbott is playing a simul against all of these Democratic mayors and cities and governors. And he's beating the brakes off of them all at the same time. And instead of them then basically asking for mercy and saying, you know what, we was wrong and we need to hold Big Daddy Biden accountable, they standing on a square. And I don't know what Biden got against these people. I don't know what's happening out here in these streets. But the one thing I know for sure and two things is for certain, these guys is getting their butt kicked.
To make sure we have sufficient staffing, we are also requiring that these charter buses arrive only between 8:30 a.m. and 12 p.m. Monday through Friday, and to only drop off passengers at one spot unless directed otherwise by New York City Emergency Management. Failure to do so result in a Class B misdemeanor, possible fines, lawsuit, and even buses being impounded. We cannot allow buses.
Is this not the exact same thing that Chicago did, and they still being overrun more than any other city?
With people...
Dumb mayors, man.
...needing our help to arrive without warning at any hour of day and night. This not only prevents us from providing assistance in orderly way, it puts those who have already suffered so much in danger. To be clear, this is not stopping people from coming, but about ensuring the safety of migrants and making sure they can arrive in a coordinated and orderly way.
So they're not actually trying to solve for the problem. He's literally just told you here. I'm going to play it again for you.
Who have already suffered so much in danger. To be clear, this is not stopping people from coming, but about ensuring the safety of migrants and making sure they can arrive in a coordinated and orderly way.
They're having meetings. Now, remember, these are your leaders, and they're telling you that this is not actually, we're not trying to stop the migrants from coming. After all of this time and the budget deficits and the stuff that they're going through on a regular basis, they're telling you this is not actually stopping it. These strategic moves that we're making is not going to stop the bleeding. It's not going to stop the issues. It's not going to solve for the problem. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to make it even easier and safer for us to accommodate more people coming into here. So they're not asking the border be closed off or to solve for the problem at its root core. They're just saying, hey, we want to make sure that we can get more coordination between how it is that we can have this transition go a little bit easier. This is New York, Denver, and Chicago mayors all on the same live stream, and they're saying this to the American people. They're telling you to your face. They're not trying to hide it. They're telling you to your face exactly what they're doing.
Chicago Mayor Johnson has already taken similar actions to coordinate orderly bus arrivals, and I'm glad our teams have been able to share lessons learned from where and what they are doing. And I want to thank him for this insight in the way of managing, assisting, and managing this crisis. New York City is part of a coalition of cities and countries and counties, and we know the importance of this moment. We are working together to address this national humanitarian crisis, and that's why I am thankful for the partnership of both my mayors from Chicago and from Denver. I'm proud to be here with my fellow mayors to call on the federal government to do their part with one voice and to tell Texas Governor Abbott to stop the games and use of migrants as potential, as political pawns. As temperatures drop in New York City, Chicago, Denver, and other impacted cities, we are calling for the federal declaration of emergency, financial support, and a national resettlement strategy. New York City is proud to have helped nearly 60% of the 161,000 migrants who have arrived here seeking shelter. But we need the state and federal government's help in resettling and supporting the 68,000 migrants still in our care, as well as those who are on their way and those yet to come. Our administration has been meeting the asylum seeker crisis head on since migrants began to arrive in 2022. We have offered them food, clothing, and a roof over their heads. And we've helped submit more than 23,000 work authorizations, TPS, and asylum applications. But we cannot continue to do the federal government's job. We have spoken to FEMA and other federal officials who have expressed concern about the border surge, but not offered additional help. We need action, and we need it now. New York City is a city built by immigrants. We will work together to emerge from this crisis stronger than ever before. But this is a national problem that has only been exacerbated by Governor Abbott's cruel, inhumane politics, and that requires additional national solutions. The federal government must take responsibility and lead on this humanitarian crisis instead of leaving it for cities and localities to handle. I will now turn it over to my colleague, the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Johnson.
Yeah, hold on. I got to give Brandon Johnson a round of applause. This guy could quite possibly be one of the most incompetent mayors that we've ever seen in our lifetime. Listen, it's got to be something in the food over in Chicago. I haven't seen this yet. I haven't seen what he's about to say. But I know, it's three things I know for sure. It's three things I know for sure when I see my governor and my governor P.B. Pritzker and my mayors over there, overs in Chicago. And it's three things that I know for sure. Number one is that he's going to have his mohawk 100% on point. Number two, he's going to have his beard perfectly aligned with the black going down to the gray. And number three, he's absolutely positively going to be talking about how incompetent he is while at the same time trying to hold the federal government accountable for the fact that they are still a sanctuary city, opening up our borders to the things that we don't want inside of our country. And that is a fact, though. Let's give it up for Brandon Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mayor Adams. Thank you for your leadership and thank you for your commitment.
Woo! Look at that boy. Am I not right on at least two out of the three? Because we haven't heard him speak yet. But am I not right that he is going to make sure that he got his gray down on his beard, that he's going to have his mohawk on point, and we have yet to see whether or not he's going to give us an incompetent speech any different than what Eric Adams just said?
Joined also by the mayor of Denver, Mayor Mike Johnston. Thank you for your leadership and your commitment to this mission as well. Has been articulated on multiple occasions that the lack of care that has been on display for the last year and a half has created an incredible amount of chaos, not just in the city of Chicago, but our country. As buses continue to arrive in the city of Chicago and all over the country, the type of chaos that has been administered has left many of our local economies under a tremendous amount of duress. Road buses arriving not just in the city of Chicago, but surrounding communities as well. Some neighborhoods as far reaching as an hour and a half outside of the city of Chicago, buses sit by the governor of Texas, literally dropping families off in the middle of nowhere. These families have experienced a great deal of political turmoil, trekking hundreds of thousands of miles to get to the border without real care, without real processing, and without a system in place to address this crisis. Since taking office over the last 7 months, my administration has worked in collaboration with the County of Cook, with the State of Illinois, as well as my full force of my administration to address this humanitarian crisis.
Yo, I know Biden is looking at this laughing. If I was Biden, I would be in an Oval Office. I would be rolling over laughing at these fools, dressing up, getting themselves on camera, only to embarrass themselves because they refuse to do the thing that's in the best interest of the residents of Chicago, New York, and Denver.
The reckless and, quite frankly, the unsafe behavior of the governor of Texas has caused a great deal of trepidation, to say the least. And as a result of that, we have done our very best to bring some structure and calm to this crisis. An orderly and a humane approach is what's required in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past 7 months, we've received hundreds of buses some in the middle of the night, and again, some in the outskirts of the city of Chicago, with little to no coordination. I've stood up 27 shelters. We are housing currently nearly 15,000 asylum seekers, providing mental health care, educating 4,500 students, while also creating a pathway to sustainability. But we cannot do this alone.
Do you know what a pathway to sustainability means? That means that they want to give them the ability to be able to vote, the ability to work, and everything else that comes along with being an American citizen. And so they're finessing you, and they're going to say, oh, we want to give a pathway to sustainability. That man said that they stood up 27 shelters. Thousands upon thousands of these people are being educated, taken care of, fed, healthcare coverage.
We need more support from the federal government. And today we stand charged and committed to ensure that our respective cities do our part, and we need the federal government to lean in and provide more financial assistance. All of our cities have reached a point where we are either close to capacity or nearly out of room. Without significant intervention from the federal government, this mission will not be sustained. But make no mistake about it, the rogue buses and now chartered flights is not only unsafe, but it is it's inhumane. So we are calling on not just the federal government to provide support and resources to address this humanitarian crisis. We also need better coordination at the border. The state of Texas has a responsibility to connect with municipalities around the country to help address and to deal with this crisis. The mayor of New York, the mayor of Denver, and myself, we're committed to that type of coordination. And that's why over a month ago, my administration implemented an ordinance that provided some very clear guidelines around how buses must arrive in the city of Chicago in order to meet the needs of this moment. And as a result of creating some a desire to create some coordination, and as a result of bringing calm or an attempt to bring calm, the governor of Texas has circumvented law in order to prove a political point. So though that is unfortunate, we are very much committed to creating a structure that works for the country while also pushing the federal government to invest in this crisis and this mission. And with that, I'm grateful that the mayor of Denver is with us. And I'll turn it over to Mayor Mike Johnston.
Before we see the white man come up, this is the national debt. The U.S. national debt is going up as we speak, like clockwork. Like clockwork, ladies and gentlemen. And a lot of people are not familiar with the national debt, but I want to tell you that the U.S. national debt today is at $34 trillion and counting. Let me give a round of applause for lowering our own debt so that we can continue to run up the national debt. Which equates to, and if we all made sure that we contributed around $101,000 per citizen, not taxpayer, because taxpayer is different, around $260,000 per taxpayer, U.S. federal spending is in the red. Now, the red means something. It's in the red by $6 trillion. U.S. federal budget deficit is officially at $1.7 trillion, and the federal spending is just out of control. Now, if we move over a little bit and we look at federal tax revenue, income tax, then this would tell you that we actually can't even really balance the budget, because this is the money coming in, and this is the money that we're actually losing by war. U.S. defense spending is at roughly almost $834 billion. Social Security is costing us $1.3 trillion. Medicare, Medicaid is costing us $1.5 trillion. We need to go ahead and cut that out, because there's a lot of people that's making money off of that. They get into the bag. And we're just absolutely positively just going down. U.S. population is 335 million. They talk about the workforce, so on and so forth. So all of this is available for you, and it's just a Google away. One Google away, you can go to usdebtclock.org, and it'll tell you and show you exactly what's happening out here in these streets, how much it's costing you per municipal employee, how much the average salary is per municipal employee at $74,000 a year. Total worker compensation is that, U.S. gross domestic product. But more importantly, the U.S. national debt is almost at $34 trillion and counting, and is going up super fast. So this is what you have to look forward to as far as your children being able to inherit the sins of their parents and their fathers and their great-grandfathers and their simp mothers and simp fathers and step baby daddies.
Thank you so much, Mayor, for including me. Thank you so much, Mayor Adams, for all your leadership and partnership.
They're going to say the white man for last. Okay, I got you.
I'll be brief with a couple of comments. So much has been said so powerfully by our other two fantastic mayors. I'll just say that Denver finds itself right now at ground zero in trying to resolve and respond to the migrant crisis. We at this point now have had more migrant arrivals to our city than any city in America per capita. And that is not because there is a thoughtful or coordinated strategy to entry. It is because we are the first big city north of El Paso and the cheapest bus ticket and the shortest trip for the governor and others who are trying to find a place to send people. We think that's not the best way to handle a crisis of this magnitude. Mayor Johnson has spoken eloquently before about the ways in which this country has addressed other crises of asylum seekers or refugee seekers, including when we had refugees from Ukraine who arrived, many thousands of whom landed in Chicago, but they came with federal support. They came with work authorization. They came with a plan for coordinated entry. As a result, they were able to be very successful.
Hold on. You're not going to be talking all fast. Matter of fact, we don't even want to hear what you got to say. We done with this. We're done with this. We don't want to hear anything else. Actually, you know what? I want to see if what you're saying is any different than what these other guys are saying. So I'm going to slow you down slightly.
Similar to asylees that came from Afghanistan, and we were able to create a similar coordinated entry system to help deliver success. We've now received more than 35,000 migrants over the course of the last year. We have more than 4,000 that are in shelter tonight. That's more than 10 times the number that were there when I took office just 6 months ago. And we have incredibly been successful in integrating many, almost all of those migrants into the city, but as both mayors.
Give me a second. I call bullshit. I got one more coming. I call bullshit. I seen your city. We see the people that are finessing and where they stand at. We see your city turning into the Carter. We see people complaining and running away from Denver. We see that your tax base are eroding. We see that businesses are suffering. We've done multiple different reports, and you're not going to gaslight me and try to tell me that you've been successful in being able to manage this crisis. I am not going to sit here and be finessed. You can't finesse me. You know what I'm saying? I come from the hood. I done seen every kind of pickpocket and finesse that you can ever. You not going to gaslight me. I know what the hell is happening in your city. I look at the videos every day. They send them to me every day.
Mentioned, we know this is not the right strategy by which to help make newcomers be successful or help make our city successful. And so I just want to join Mayor Adams and Mayor Johnson and say, I think there are three very clear steps the federal government can take today that we want to see them take. One of those is we do need to dramatically increase work authorization for those folks who are arriving in our cities. Many people come to this country, they get paroled into the country with an asylum claim, but they'll come to Denver and they'll have a court date for that asylum claim that is April 23rd of 2027. That's 4 years away. And in the meantime, don't have capacity to work or to work fast enough. And so what we're asking for is that folks that are arriving and are paroled in come with work authorization so we can help them do what they want to do, which is support themselves and support their families.
And that is ultimately what it comes back down to, is that they want to give them the ability to be able to make money. Make that money, honey. Get them jobs, baby. And then be able to eventually give themselves a pathway to be able to vote. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Pathway to make money, vote. Tired of you selling box on the street. Y'all driving the price of box down out here in these streets. These chicks used to be able to let it go for $39.95. Now they got it going for $19.98. You know what I'm saying? $39.95 to $19.98, that's more than a 50% drop in what the price of the box was going for. They don't want that. They don't want that playing out the way that it's playing out. You're going to have to give them work authorization status for them to go out there and be able to pay taxes and sell that box the way that they're supposed to. You're not going to be able to do it the way that you're doing it right now. And so they're calling on you, Biden, in order to protect them from Greg Abbott, because Greg Abbott is obviously the only person that I see doing anything about anything that actually aligns with what the American people want.